fine. So now this week. So what we're going to do today, so let's do what I'm supposed to do. A quick summary of the parsha. Okay? We find ourselves now, Yaakov has been threatened by Esav, he's going to murder him. Actually, Esav never threatens it, but he says it in his head. And Rivka hears and says, Yaakov, you got to get out of here. She then convinces Yitzchak to send him away.
With
Nevuah.
Right, because that didn't make sense either. He said it in his...
He says it in his own words. Right, same thing. And okay. she hears.
Protective Jewish mother.
Right, but she finds out through Nevuah.
For reason.
Right, she finds out through Nevuah and she sends him away. Good, and yet she gets Yitzchak on board. They both send him away. Fine. And he runs away. Vayeti Yaakov Beersheva via Haran. He leaves Beersheva on his way to Haran. He stops somewhere, right, at a certain place. He has a dream. We had a shiur about that also once. Is it really Luz? Is it really the Malkam HaMikdash? Right, but he has a dream.
And he puts the stones.
Around his head. We've talked about that also. And he has his dream. The angel's going up and down. I still remember the project I made in second grade with Mrs. Cohen. And we made the ladder and the angels. I still 3D. We used to make amazing poster projects. My mom does not still have it, that's for sure. She's moved sometimes, so no way. But, right, angels going up and down. Yaakov is nervous. What's going to be? Hashem says, don't worry. I'll be with you wherever you go. Fine. He goes to Haran. He arrives and he meets Rachel, girl of his dreams. He's ready to go. As we know, he says to Lavan, I want to... And he starts working for Lavan. He has no money. He shows up penniless, right? Yeah. So what is he going to do? So he's living with Lavan, his uncle. And he says, okay, eventually he says, I got to work, you know, time. He's working for him for free. He says, fine, let me pay you. He says, fine, I want to marry your daughter. No problem. He gets ready to marry Rachel. And we know the whole switcheroo. They don't. Leah ends up marrying him. They finish Shevet Brachas and he goes and he marries Rachel. And he now works another 7 years. So he's worked now 14 total years. After those 14 total years that he's worked just to pay the dowry to be able to marry his wives, so now he says to Lavan, like, now I got to make my own parnasa. I need my own way to make a living, right? So they make a deal. What's the deal? That they're going to give, Lavan's going to give Yaakov a certain amount of sheep, right, that are all white, regular sheep. And he says to him, Yaakov likes to deal with him, whatever speckled and spotted sheep that will come out of these sheep become mine, all the rest go back to Lavan. Which sounds like a very good deal for Lavan because the sheep are not speckled and spotted. And of course, what happens is a miracle, right? And all of the sheep now start to become speckled and spotted. There's a whole interesting details there about how he got them to do that with sticks and things. They look at certain things, whatever it is. He sets it up, he's a smart businessman, and he now makes a lot of money, okay? Good. Now that he's made all that money, and now come to Perek Lamed Aleph, where we are, source number one. And the Torah says, Vayishma, Yaakov heard, as divrei b'nei Lavan le'mor, the words of the sons of Lavan who said, Lakach Yaakov es kol asher la'avinu. Yaakov has stolen all of our father's money. Which isn't true, he didn't take all of his father's money, but he was making money off of him. Umei asher la'avinu asa es kol dekavod asa, and he's made all his money off of our father, right? He's made an investment from our father, made him all that money. And Yaakov is also starting to see that his father-in-law is not so happy with him, and he's kind of turned, his face has turned against him. Okay, so now Hashem comes to speak to Yaakov. Shuv el eretz avosecha. Now you got to go back to where you came from. Right? Interesting, by the way, we're used to Avram being told, leave your family, leave your homeland, etc. And he's saying to Yaakov, the opposite. Time to go back to your homeland, back to the land of your fathers. Ve'ayimach, and I'll be with you. Fine. Vayishlach Yaakov ve'ikral lachel le'yah ha'sadeh al-tzano. Now Yaakov calls for Rachel and Leah to come meet him out in the field. I don't know why they're meeting out in the field, not in their tent. Maybe he's nervous about
people overhearing.
But they're having like a, you know, a private conversation. Vayom alehen. I see that your father's not with me anymore. But the God of my father, Hashem, is with me. And you guys know how hard I worked for him. And your father tricked me all these times. But Hashem did not allow him to hurt me. Whatever we said was going to be my schar, what I was going to make money on, speckled or spotted, that's what happened. Basically, Hashem made it work for us, right? Okay. Vayatzel Elohim et miknei avichen vayitan in Hashem, and basically Hashem made it work. Fine. Vayi ve'is achim atzon ve'asa enai ve'er b'chalom. Okay, so now he says, and now I'm going to tell you a dream, he says. So while the sheep were in heat, meaning they're getting ready to have children, I had a dream. V'nei ha'atutim ha'olim al hatzon akudim nikudim uvedim. And what happened was, again, the sheep that came out were these speckled and spotted ones. V'yomer lai malach alakim. And in that dream, a malach came and spoke to me. B'chalom. Yaakov. V'omar ha'ineni. And they called my name, Yaakov. And I said, yes, I'm here. V'yomer. Sanei necharei kol ha'atutim ha'olim al hatzon akudim nikudim uvedim. Ki ra'isi es kol ha'shal levano selach. Basically saying, look, Yaakov, I'm helping you. I'm going to make this work out for you financially. I'm setting it all up for you. And so the Malach comes in Hashem's voice and says, look at what I'm doing for you. And then he says, Anochi ha'el beis el, I'm the God of Beit El, Hashem ha'shachta sham matzeva, that you anointed a altar there, right? That was the end of the story. Sorry, I skipped it. At the end of the story, back in where he has his dream, his first dream, which he calls Beit El, he makes a matzeva. He takes a stone, that stone that was under his head, and he pours oil on it, right? He mashachta sham. You pour oil on it. Ashenadarta li sham neder, right? And you took a neder there, right? You said, if Hashem is with me, I'll come back and I'll give Hashem 10%. Ata, and so now he says, so now, kum tse min aretz azos, vishuv el eretz melanatecha. So, now he says, in a dream, they said to me, time to go back. Okay, so as Yaakov tells over the dream, to his wives, he tells them two parts of the dream. Part number one is, the dream showed me that Hashem was helping me out and making sure we're making money. Part number two of the dream is, Hashem tells me, time to go home. Okay. And Rachel and Leah say, okay, no problem, we saw that pasuk before. They say, that's wonderful, that's great. Good. Okay. So, anything about this dream or the way the dream is set up bother you or not bother you? Or actually bother you. Does it bother you? Anything here bother you in this story? Anything about the dream? Or like it's okay?
Why does he have to convince them that it's Hashem who made him rich, you know, and now that Hashem made him rich, he needs to listen to that God and go home. One should have nothing to do with the
other. This is an interesting combination in the story, in the dream, right? The dream is, I made you rich, and now time to go home. Like, what is the connection between those two things?
Obvious.
Okay.
Maybe I'm wrong. I feel like that's obvious. Because he said, I'm the God of Beit El, you anointed a pillar, and you made a vow. It's like, he's getting comfortable, and he's rich, and he's living the life, basically. And Hashem's like, yoo-hoo, like, I'm the one who did all this for you, and I'm your God, and you should be leaving this even land, I guess, right?
Meaning, so maybe there really is a connection. I mean, the connection
to me it was
obvious.
In my mind, he's Hashem-fearing, and they know that, and all he has to say is, Hashem says it's time to go. Leave. We're going. That's it.
Why does he need the intro?
Right.
Okay,
well, that,
good.
The intro would make the assumption that he had forgotten, right? He needs an intro.
He needs
a reminder. Okay.
I mean, for them, maybe it's the proof. Like, he's been living in the house of his ancestors. He knows all of the stories of Hashem being with them and providing for them. But then here, he has new wives who may have heard things, but
they didn't grow up in his house. They didn't grow up with Yitzchak and Rivka's parents.
This is their concrete Hashem is with me proof. And therefore, that's how they can be comfortable with Hashem saying, now we should go, because Hashem has also helped us do this. Like, for them, it's the concrete Hashem is with us story.
But the brothers didn't see it that way. I mean,
what do you mean?
Their brothers were saying, Yaakov's getting rich off our father, and Yaakov, I mean, so why would they believe it was Yad Hashem?
No, I think what Bina is saying is that maybe that's part of the explanation. Meaning,
we're going to
see some answers to this question, but that's
not me.
I didn't do it.
Right. It's an interesting structure of a dream, right? Where Hashem says, look what I did. And I helped you. And then he says, okay, now it's time to go home. Right? Mm-hmm. It's interesting. Fine. I'll tell you one other thing. Other interesting thing. How does Hashem usually refer to himself when he talks to the Avos? What does he usually call himself? If I'm Hashem and I'm talking to Yaakov.
I'm the God of your father.
Yeah, what does he usually say? He just says, when you speak to Yitzchak, he says, I'm the Elokei Avraham. When he speaks to Yitzchak, you know, he speaks to to Yaakov, he says, "I'm Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak." If I'm, which he does, by the way, in the first dream, which we're going to see in a second, right? But if he's talking to Moshe Rabbeinu, he says, "I am Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov." Right? He always refers to himself as the God of the father before, right? Your grandparents, and somehow here he becomes the God of Beit El. Right? There is no God of Beit El. I mean, he's the God of everything. Right, but God is never called the God of Beit El ever. Right, that's not something that he's referred to as until now. I don't know if he's ever called that ever again. But it's interesting that he calls himself that here in the story, which might point to
the place at that point. He named that place.
Yaakov named that place. So that may be part of the answer
Like I'm activating. There's an
interesting thing, but it's very unique. Hashem is never called that ever. Right. So I want to show you.
He slept and put up the
rock. Mm-hmm. Yes, exactly. That's where you put up the rock. Was that what he calls it? Beit El, right? It's called, the place is called Luz, but he calls it Beit El, right? So, what does God mean to tell? What's he signaling by calling him the God of Beit El?
Affirming it's an affirming something
of
acknowledging that what you said is.
So he's accepting himself. God is accepting himself as Yaakov's God.
It's validity.
Yeah, maybe. Very interesting, right? Okay, so let's see. Let's take a look for a second, because some of the Rishonim are also bothered by the juxtaposition of the miracle of the finances and connected to the command to go back.
What did you say happened to Avraham's wealth? We never knew what happened to Avraham's wealth.
Avraham's wealth.
Like, why was there no Yitzchak money?
Why didn't that? Oh, so what? Yaakov's
wealth? Avram was very wealthy.
Avram was wealthy. Yitzchak presumably keeps it.
Right.
At some point, though, it seems clear that Yitzchak
loses it along the way.
Okay. Right? He loses it along the way in some way. That, I think we talked about that also. There was Ibn Ezra, who himself was very poor, and he talks about the reason Esau wasn't interested in the Bechor was because he didn't have any money. He wasn't going to get anything. And that's part of the reason that Esav rejects the Bechorah. That's for that reason also.
But
it's a good question. But Yaakov losing his money actually comes from a Medrash. The Medrash says that as he's running away, Esav sends Eliphaz, his son, to go
and he tells him, my
father told me to kill you, but I want to do that.
Yeah.
He says, fine, take my money. Ani chashuv kemes. Son has no money, it's like they're dead.
Yeah, but they didn't have coins or anything like that.
And gold.
But, I mean, the source of wealth was how many sheep you had. And things
which
like
he couldn't
that.
Take with him.
But when he's running away, he didn't have...
Yeah.
There was something coinage or something.
Right, and that, by the way, that could be the simple answer, the pshat answer of to why he runs away and has no money when he arrives. He arrives with no money. That's clear. Right, so why he has no money, but yeah, maybe because Yitzchak had no money, maybe because of Eliphaz steals his money, but there's all,
He certainly didn't have a credit card.
Didn't have a credit card, that's for sure. If he did, he'd have less money. So, fine. Okay, so take a look at the Ramban, source number two. The Ramban is bothered by this story, these two dreams being put in the same dream. And he writes the following, Anochi Akel Beis Kel, Yisaper Yaakov Lenashav, Koma Asher Malo Malach Halokim Balchalom. So Yaakov is telling his wives everything the Malach had told him in the dream. Because all of it is trying to cajole them, get them ready to follow him, right? But what he's telling them is not one dream. Why? That whole story about seeing the sheep. That was, the Ramban says, think about the timing. This is a six-year process where Yaakov is making all this money. So what, he's just figured it out? Now the Malach comes to him 6 years later when it's all at the end and tells him what's happening? No, he got that dream. He had that dream all the way at the beginning. Right? It doesn't make sense to put the two together. There were 6 years from when he started working for Lavan, when he's done with his first 14 and starts the 6 years for himself until he's finished and it's time to leave. So by the time he comes to tell them it's time to leave, that first dream must have happened way longer ago. Right? It must have happened, a long time ago. I saw it separately. I didn't bring it for you. Those Nam the Torah says, "Wow, look at the anivus of Yaakov Avinu." He had, according to the Ramban, he had a nevuah 6 years earlier, and he didn't tell his wives that they had a nevuah. He didn't want to boast. I was like, okay. I would say I think a good idea to tell them, but okay. But it sounds like according to the Ramban, he waited 6 years to tell them this dream. Okay. But Isachem Atzon, it's when the sheep are first giving birth. One of the first years. This idea of time to leave, right? That was much later, 6 years later, when it's time to leave. Once Hashem told him to leave, he left. He didn't stay any longer to shepherd the sheep. They weren't like now starting to have children. That was already from before. It was an old story. The next day he has a dream. The next morning, so it's time to leave. Fine. But the point is, the Ramban is so bothered by the connection of these two pieces, right? The story of the sheep and the story it's time to leave, that he says it's not one dream. There are two dreams. He told them together. Right? But they didn't really happen at the same time. There wasn't, Hashem didn't speak to him and tell him two things at the same time. Ramban says. Fine. Look what Rashi says. So verse number 3. He doesn't give me an answer for he explains why he brings them together as a way to convince them to leave. But fine. Look at Rashi in verse number 3. Vineha tudim afa pishihiv dilam lavan kulam shloyit abru atzon dugmatan. Right, even though Lavan had taken all the speckled and spotted sheep, right, and he put them separate. Hayu amalachim mivinotan me eder hamasur biyad bnei Lavan le eder shebiyad Yaakov. Rashi says there was a miracle. It's based on a medrash. That what happened? Lavan had taken all the speckled and spotted sheep. He keeps them. He gives all the clean white sheep to, I don't know how the genealogy here works, but whatever. Can clean white sheep have speckled sheep? I don't know. I have to ask Gregor Mendel. So Yaakov takes all of the clean.
Do you have any blonde white children?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. But I have a blonde brother. But anyways, he takes all the white sheep and puts them on the other side. So how are they going to have any speckled sheep? So says the Rashi, no problem. It's been a miracle. Right? That Hashem, in the middle of the night, the sheep flew. Someone was counting them, right? And they flew from one group to the other group in the middle of the night. And that's how they had, and then they were able to have, and I guess like, and then they'd bring them back afterwards, whatever. They'd mate and bring them back, whatever they would do. And that's how he has these children. Okay. But that's how the Hine, happened. It happened. It just happened. It was a miracle that it happened. Okay. Why is it called a kale based kale? It says Rashi, Kamo, L base L. Ha hey, you say, right? You don't need the extra hay. V'derech mikro ledaber, okay, fine. But what did you do there? So he said, mashachta sham. You had anointed a rock there. Lashon ribuy v'gedula shenimshach l'malchus. You made it into, you became a melech, right? Really, it's, right, that you made it mishuchel mizbeach. Just like that's how you anoint a king, by pouring water, by putting, oil on their head. I think in the UK, they still do that. Isn't that right? When Charles became king, I think they put oil on his head, right? I think so. They do that. It's like to this day, they do that. So that started way long ago. So the point is, when you put oil on a rock, and it's just putting oil on a rock makes it into a mizbeach, right? It's no longer fine. And what happened? The Rashi and Adar tell you made a neder to me, but Sarich Atal Shamo says Rashi. And now Hashem saying you made a neder there. So now you need to fulfill it, right? So what Hashem is saying to him, I'm the God of Beit El. Why is he calling himself that?
Because that's where he made the next.
That's where you promised, Yaakov, you were going to come back, right? And you were going to do something. You were going to, you were going to give things to me and you were going to come back. You can't just stay where you are, right? Fine. But Rashi doesn't explain why we put the two dream parts together in the dream, but that's how he reads the story. Fine. But look now at the Malbim. Source number 4. So the Malbim says the following: Vayehi, ata hodia lehen ta'anashniya shetzarich latzeit mipnei devar Hashem. He's telling them now why you're going to have to leave because Hashem said so. V'siper lehem achalom hanevui shara'ah. And he tells them now this prophetic dream that he had. Shebait yachem atzon ra'iti et kolat udim etc. Vayomer lehem alach halakim lashu lasum lev azot. And the Malach said to pay attention to what happened with the finances. Okay. Vayomar, now he explains. Vahodiali, and the Malach told me, Shalachain nitztairu atudim ba'ila ha'gimma givanim. This is why the sheep came in these ways. Ki ra'iti at kol ha'shel Lavan oseh lecha. I mean, Hashem says, look, I saw what Lavan's doing, and this is why I set it up for you. Ritzonu lomar shera'iti ma'asha'atid la'asot lecha. This is more. Not just I saw what he was trying to do, but I see what Lavan's going to continue to try to do to you. Right? She yeshna ata maskortech shlosha pamim. Again, these different speckled, spotted, and striped, I guess, are the three different types. Lavan continued to switch it. It's like, fine, if you have spotted ones, I keep for you. And then he had spotted ones. No, just kidding, striped ones. And he got striped ones. No, just kidding, speckled ones. Right? So every time he kept on switching, I've always been bothered when you read this in the text. All right, so bad for Bar Mitzvah boys. It's hard language. But like, what does it mean? And like, why are we doing this? And like, why are we talking about the details? Right, but the point is that it's to show, Malbim says, that each time, the way Lavan kept, we've all dealt with, unfortunately, in some way, in work or in somewhere, people who are like this, shifty. They're called shifty people because they're always shifting, right? They're always moving the target, right? Constantly. In the moment you see that,
changing
the terms of the deal, and immediately you get out of there, right? But that's what he was doing to him. Lachain hechin malach tziras hamolidim teichav ashlosha gvanim ele. That's why he's prepared a malach to make animals born with all three. Kadesh kefi mashi yeshane lavan kein tiyaleidan. So no matter what would happen, it would come out the right way. He had babies had spotted and speckled. And I don't know if there's been spotted and speckled. I don't know. But and striped. Whatever it is, three different things. V'kol mashi yomar liyos chelko sheyakov kein yodol hatzom. Whatever Lavan was going to say, came out that way, right? Umitzad zehi rani hamalach shelo itakev od etz Lavan. Now he says, and that's why the malach said to me, and now you have to leave. What's the connection? Shelo itzdareich tamid lamaase nisim ulu mishmirah hashkachatit. Right? It's been a little like too many miracles here, Yaakov. Like, it's enough. You're not going to live your whole life with me literally pulling the strings at every moment to help you. It's enough already. I've been setting it up for you so it goes okay, but now it's time for you to get out of here and live a little bit on your own. I'm not going to continue to protect you over and over again. So according to this, what Namalbim's saying is that the reason for the connection between the economics and the get out of here is I see what he's doing, I'm helping you, but it's time for me to stop helping you that way, and it's time to keep going. Look at the next line in the Malbim. He says, Anochi Kel Beis Kel. Why does he call him again? The God of Beit El? What did Hashem promise? When he was there, right? I'm going to protect you wherever you go, right? I promised two things. And he promised also, those are the two promises I made. So I fulfilled my promise of Shmarticha. I helped you out. You're okay financially. And now, interestingly, I'll help you with the promise, but you have to join me. And the promise of, I'm bringing you back to Eretz Yisrael. Right? Right? V'yata mashach l'sha matzeva. You, and let's be fair, you yourself made a matzeva there. V'nadart neder al tanai. Im v'shavavti v'sholm b'savi. You said, if I help you get back, you know, to get back there safely, v'ya Hashem li l'lokim, that I was going to be your God. U'shneim tzrichim atal yitkayim. And you have to fulfill these now. V'lachein tzei mina Eretz Yisrael. Okay, so the Malbim puts it together and says exactly what's going on, right? I promised you I would protect you, and I did, and I'm going to show you how I protected you, and now I want you to fulfill the second piece. Go back. Fine. The first says a little bit differently, but similar. Source number 5. I command you to leave this land not because you are not assured of my continued protection even here. It's because I am Hakel Beis Kel, the God to whom a bias will be built on earth, who wants his presence to dwell amidst the family life of man. You discover this when you put up the matzeva, and there you vow to make it a reality. That vow is awaiting its fulfillment. I fulfilled my promise, you too must do your part and fulfill your vow. It's a little, why is it, how's that a little different? Or do you think it's different? Maybe it's the same. I think it's a little different, but tell me what you think. Is that the same as the Malbim or a little bit different?
I mean, it's a little different. Because he's saying is that it's not that you're not assured the continued protection. I will continue.
I'll do it. If you stay, I'll keep protecting you. Interesting.
Right.
I'm still going to protect you. Mm-hmm. I said, Ushmarticha b'chol shetelech. I still said that. But what do I want?
I'm going to see what
that
he says, but I don't know what it means.
So I'll tell you what I think it means. To be fair, he wrote it in German. Oh. Okay, so this is English translation. But this is what I think it means. It's because I am the Kale based kale doesn't mean necessarily refers, again, you have to decide how specific it refers to being, but like He didn't say, and you called me the God of Beit El. He didn't say that. He says, I'm the God of Beit El, meaning I'm a God who wants to be a God for people who are here, right? In Eretz Yisrael, building a Beis HaMikdash, etc. Like, the future of my being God is with you in Eretz Yisrael. That's what it sounds like, right? And so I'm the one who wants his presence to dwell amidst the family life of man. I want to be part of your life, right? So can't God be part of his life in the Chutz Laretz? Can God be part of his life if he's living in Haran? He could.
Right. I mean, maybe the issue is that he is still technically in Lavan's household, even though he's got his own thing.
He can't be his own man.
Land.
But then he can just say, leave Lavan. Right. You have to go back to Israel. Right? It sounds like he's saying, like, that's part of your spiritual legacy. And in a weird way, Hashem's spiritual legacy. Right? I want to be in a place, I want to be amongst you, but I need you to be here for that.
Right.
I need you to be in Israel. Sounds like he's saying that, right? It's not just like you promised, so come back. But like, that's what it means to be Kael based Kael. It means I'm the God in a house of Hashem. What's a house of Hashem? A house of Hashem is in Israel. Interesting. Look at those Zayin B'Torah, source number 6. Okay, he did give us a fun one this time. Mr. Seretzkin. I always look just in case. Ashenadar Tal Yisham Neder. That is Rav Zalman Seretzkin. Rav Zalman Seretzkin, who survived the Holocaust and came to Eretz Yisrael, and then was a Rav in Yerushalayim. So a lot of times he connects a lot of his Perushim to his own, you can almost like read out his personal experience in the Perush, and you can see it right now. Look what he says. Kan gila lo asher nadat al di sham neder. And you made a neder to me there. He says, Kan gila lo Hashem sibat sinato hapit omit shalavani lav. Why all of a sudden, right? In any mo kid mo shosham, all of a sudden, Lavan's not listening. Why is all of a sudden Lavan hate him? Hainu kadeshi yashuv al eretz avotav v'yekayem et nidro. Hashem, Lavan gets angry and starts to hate his guts. Why?
To show him that it's time to go.
To drive him out. Right? To give Yaakov the reminder that it's time to go. Right? It's almost like Hashem has this, right? Sinas Yisrael, right? The hatred of Yisrael, of Yaakov, happen so that Yaakov will be reminded, like, this is not where I'm supposed to be. Right, and he gets out of here. So certainly, Rav Seretzkin's writing this with his perspective, right? He watched it happen in Europe, right? We watch it, we read it now, obviously, with a certain perspective also, right? Of, wow, sometimes when they turn on us, all of a sudden, out of nowhere, right? Why does that happen to us? So sometimes it's to remind us, right? Time to go. Very timely message from Rav Seretzkin. But I want to show you one more idea. Okay? I wanted to go back to that first dream. Okay, source number 7 is the first dream. I didn't show it to you from the beginning. Maybe I should have, but we'll see it now. Okay, this is the original dream that Yaakov has. And I want you to think about the difference between the original dream and the dream we started with, right? Which is really the second dream. So he look at from Pasuk Yud Bet. Vayachalom, he has a dream. Vinei sulam mutzav atzav rosho magia shamayma. There's a ladder, right? With its base in the ground and its head in the heavens. Vinei malachei Elohim olim v'yodim bo, right? And there are angels going up and down. Vinei Hashem nitzav alav, and Hashem is standing over him. Vayomar ani Hashem elokei Avraham avicha velokei Yitzchak b'avai, right? Hashem refers to himself as the God of Avraham and Yitzchak. Ha'aretz asher ata shochev aleha lacha etnenu uzrach, and the land that you are lying on, I gave it to you and to your children. The Medrash says that Hashem folded the entire Eretz Yisrael under him. For the dream, so he could say, right? The land that you're lying on, right? And what's going to happen? Like Benny Friedman, that's the song, Yama, Yama, Yama. So, right, your children are going to be like the dust of the earth, and they're going to go out to all corners of the land. And you're going to be blessed through you, all of the nations of the world, right? And through your children, like the promise that Avram's given, right? That everyone will be blessed through you. Etc., etc., etc. Right, and then what happens? Tazayin, vayikat Yaakov mishnato vayomar vayomar achein yesh Hashem akom hazeh v'nachilu yadati. Wow, I didn't know Hashem was in this place. I didn't know. Right, vayirah vayomar manora hamakom hazeh ein zekim beis alkim v'zeh Hashem. Wow, what a spiritual place this is. I didn't know this is the Beis Hashem. This is the gateway to heaven. Right, I had no idea. Right, and then he puts up a matzeva. He takes the stone. Okay, what is like the feeling or the like? Messaging in this dream. What is Yaakov dreaming about in this dream? What would you say? Who are the characters in the dream?
Yaakov, Avraham, his forefathers.
Hashem's connection. Legacy, to all of that. Hashem, Malachim, Eretz Yisrael. But it's very spiritual dream, right? This is like the most spiritual dream, right? This is like Malachim up and down. Like this is like super. And then he wakes up and he says, wow, this is the gateway to Shemayim, right? He like wakes up this like tremendous spiritual like experience. Yeah, is that fair to say?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Good. I'm not. That's what this is, right?
Yeah.
What's the second dream about?
Commerce.
What is he dreaming about? Who are the characters? Who are the characters in the dream?
Sheep.
Mm-hmm. And it was mainly sheep.
Right.
Right? Fascinating. Mm-hmm. Okay? Take a look at Rabbi
also
Golden.
Says Malach.
Like, there is a Malach.
Right, no, but meaning it almost seems like the...
There's one. There's one.
No, but it's like... Spirituality is...
But he knows Hashem is speaking to him through the Malach, but the Malach comes to him to tell him that.
Not Hashem. Like the right, Hashem being. Doesn't talk to him. It's not It's not this... Right?
Right. Although Hashem is the one who does talk to him in the separate... I also think they're separate.
Right.
One.
Other dream.
Go home. Yeah.
Take a look at what Rabbi Golden says. I think this is the pshat in the whole story. That's what I think. Rabbi Golden says the following. Finally... It has been suggested that Yaakov's second dream can be connected to his first vision at Beit El, yielding an entirely different approach. Again, he says it's been suggested that usually Rabbi Golden writes like that he'd like to argue, so maybe he's saying he heard this somewhere, I don't know. He doesn't quote anybody, so we'll leave it as coming from him. Seen in context, the two dreams recorded in Parsha Vayetze emerge as contrasting endpoints in Yaakov's philosophical journey over his years in exile. When Yaakov leaves the home of his parents and embarks on the path of Haran, he dreams of angels ascending and descending a ladder. Towards the end of his journey, after 20 years in the house of Lavan, when the patriarch dreams again, he dreams of sheep. The message of that second dream may simply be, Yaakov, when you stop dreaming of angels and start dreaming of sheep, it's time to go home. It's so simple. It's so simple. But it's so obvious. If you think about it, it's such the distinction is so obvious. It's so clear. I never thought about that ever until I read it here. Like, so interesting, right? The words of the angel who appears in Yaakov's second dream are thus to be interpreted as follows. I have seen what Lavan is doing to you. I see kol asher Lavan oseh lach. I see what Lavan is doing to you. Meaning, I've seen how your father-in-law has changed you. You no longer set your sights upon the heavens. Your focus is instead upon material gain. I'm the God of Beit El, right? Anochi Akel Beis Kel. I'm that God. Remember me, right? Where you anointed a pillar and where you offered me a vow. Now arise and leave this land and return to the land of your birth. Remember that morning at Beit El when you vowed to return? The time has come to fulfill your vow before it's too late. Return to your roots before you are unalterably changed. I don't think, by the way, that this is an attack on Yaakov for taking care of his finances. That's not the point, right? The question is, I think, what is Yaakov dreaming about?
Well, later on, when he goes back to cross the river to retrieve a few things.
Pachim Katanim, he goes to the right. Yes, very good. Rashi says,
and then,
right.
And he wrestles with the angel. And
yes, very good. So look at source number 9, is the last source. The Gemara in Bracha says, Kol alan shivas yamim velo chalom. Nikra Ra, it's on the back. Oh yeah, on the bottom page. Yeah. Any person who goes 7 days without dreaming is called bad, evil. Okay, so it doesn't mean if you sleep too short, like most of us, that you don't get a chance to hit like a real REM sleep to actually have a dream. That's not what it means, right? So Lichtenstein said, it doesn't mean that. It doesn't mean if you actually go 7 days without, all these Gemaras don't mean what they, right? What it means, so Lichtenstein said it, what it means is, right? It means that we have to take a moment at least once a week to remember what our dreams are. To remember what we're really dreaming about, what we should be dreaming about, right? To get Shabbos is that ultimate opportunity, right? That's what Shabbos does for us. It stops everything. How many emails do you think you got over the last 3 days to buy something 50% off? I probably got 400. I got so many. I said to Chani yesterday. I said like, the pressure to buy something. Oh, and I did. I bought some things. But like it was on sale. It was great. You're having a bar mitzvah. But the pressure, and you can see it in my kids. Are like, Abba, like it's Friday. Like, what are you gonna buy? I'm like, I don't know. I don't need anything. But the pressure, right? The focus It's insane. It's insane. And I was thinking about that today when I was, like, or last night when I was putting this together. Like, it's just like you can get so swallowed up and just, like, choosing this thing and choosing that thing and buying this thing and buying that thing. And, like, it becomes the focus of our life. It's very easy. Also, like, when we're bored. So, like, it's fun to buy something. That's, like, right? That's why Amazon is so popular. It's so fun to hit, and then the thing comes. It makes you feel better for a minute. It does, right? It's fun. The kids love it, right? Kids love it, and adults love it. You arrive at home. Hey, you know, it's like a party every day. There's something at your doorstep. And I think that maybe the simple shot is not that Yaakov became super materialistic and forgot who he was, but even Yaakov Avinu, right, in that moment needed a reminder, right? What are you dreaming about? What are you dreaming about? And I think it's such a beautiful message. I think it's the truth. I think it's what the simple shot in the story is that Yaakov, the two are put together, right? Hashem said, and maybe it was one dream, maybe it was two dreams, maybe it was one dream, right? And the dream is, look what I did for you financially, and now get out. It's enough. Yeah, if you stay longer, you'll make more money, but you have enough now, and it's time to go back to your dreams. It's good to go back to doing things that you really believe in, and the things that you really value, and things that are front and center. Don't become poor. Don't let go. Invest smartly and do what you got to do, and take care of your family. But remember the things that really matter, right? And that's the kol alon shivay seven below chalom. That if we dream, make sure to dream every interval, every once in a while, to remind ourselves what really matters. So then we put ourselves on the path to fulfilling the right dreams. I guess this time I titled it right. There are dreams and there are dreams. And I think that's the point. Mm-hmm. I think that's the point. And something to take. All right, thanks, guys.